Hello and welcome to the Roguecast. This essay is entitled Circumcision, The Truth Is All I Need. The Lie of Circumcision, Why I Love the Truth and Despise Those Who Lie. If there's one thing which I am strongly averted to, it is lying. This is by no means an easy stance to take when we live in a realm of lies, a construct in which we are lied to by each and every agency of a state apparatus that is in thrall to the father of lies himself, the demiurge, Lucifer, or Satan. Call him or it what you will. Deceit is the currency of this systemic net that captures so many, and those who serve it are well rewarded for their services to its manifest deceptions. White lies, fibs, untruths, distortions of the facts, all of them swirl around us like fog on a drear November morning. The tagline of the Rogue Mail site is In Truth and Honour, and it's the principle under which I stand or fall. Some may say that it's a bold claim and they would be correct in terms of what this world is. But boldness brings its own rewards, and a man who loves the truth and remains in honour is a force to be reckoned with, for he is not captured, snagged or befuddled by the thickets of lies and the brambles of falsehoods that others are. That may mean he is a rarity, a shining emerald in a pile of shite, who is infused with light, for the truth is beauty, and that is all we need to know. This life is a game of hide and seek, one in which the honourable man has a ready and joyful quality about him, a lightness of touch that comes from not lying. If that sounds ridiculously simplistic, then stop reading now. The individual who refuses to swim in the odorous effluence is like a trout who is pushing, gliding and jumping his way upstream regardless of the putrid currents he finds himself in. As I write this, I am aware that such is the all-enveloping quality of this whirlpool of lies that a truthful and honest individual is all too rare, as most around him simply go with the flow. And yet, there are those who detest the lies to such an extent that they get falsely labelled as conspiracy theorists or truthers on the simple basis that they go against the grain. The very fabric of a fabricated world built on lies. To those who peddle lies and deceit, the individual is crazy for his refusal to go with the flow. The ancients of these lands had a maxim that remains eternal, the truth against the world. And I love it. Of course, in a valid court of law, the facts are crucial in determining the innocence or guilt of an individual, or whatever the issue is that is being presented. One key piece of legislation in support of this is the Fraud Act 2006, which reminds us that a lie can be a misrepresentation or an omission. To reiterate, if there's one thing I despise, it's being lied to. It's also to be noted that this stance is what led me inevitably into taking on the deceptive might of the Great British Mortgage Swindle, a racket born out of a system of intentional financial enslavement which is wholly dependent on lies, whether they be misrepresentations or omissions, both of which operate in any swindle. The following article was released back in 2013, that's 12 years ago, and it's about the genital mutilation of infant boys. I'm revisiting it today, which is the 19th of October 2025, as it's an example of a particularly egregious lie, which deeply affected me in ways that were difficult to process, and which, to a lesser extent now, continue to affect me until I wrote about it and came to the realisation that I am, in truth, not my body, and not my brain, or even my thoughts, but that I am, in truth, an immortal personality who, in the final analysis, is journeying through a challenging construct that cannot truly harm me. Yet for all of that, we find ourselves incarnated in a realm in which our avatars the biological suits we reside within and travel through our lives in, is under attack from the moment we arrive here. From infancy, the human form is under threat. Even the unborn child is threatened with murder, as exemplified by the criminal UK government legalising abortion up to actual birth. Firstly, they voted for this monstrous piece of legislation which attempts to make the actual murder of babies legitimate up to and including their birth. Quote, "The Crime and Policing Bill, which decriminalises abortion and legitimises infanticide. Since David Steele's 1967 Abortion Act, 12 million babies have been aborted. In 1983, there were 8,419 abortions. In 2024, there were 300,000 abortions. That means that a premature newborn baby can be murdered at the behest of its mother when it comes out of the womb. It is nothing less than a state-sanctioned infanticide. Then, of course, the infant's well-being is threatened by the plethora of vaccinations which are falsely offered as essential to preserve his health. My mother passed away 14 months ago, and as I've stated before, when I was a child, she constantly reminded me of a number of incontrovertible maxims, and an early one was, tell the truth and shame the devil. Unfortunately, my mother, may God bless her, did not always practice what she preached. As the article reveals, whenever I asked her or my dad the reason why my penis was mutilated, she would become evasive and repeated those lies which she had been fed by the medical practitioners who I now know to be working for a death cult. A death cult that she foolishly put her trust in and which killed her in the end. Note, the following images are of a graphic content that some may find disturbing. An unconscionable act of violence. The genital mutilation of baby boys for religious and/or erroneous medical reasons is nothing less than an extreme act of violence towards a defenceless being who was born perfect. It is psychological, spiritual, and emotional abuse against a divine being that is born whole. Quote, an infant boy is born with a healthy foreskin. Consequently, there are no medical indications for circumcision in the newborn period. Infant circumcision is a painful, stressful, and traumatic procedure that leaves the infant exhausted and debilitated to the extent that some are unable to suckle at the breast. The source of that is doctorsopposingcircumcision.org. As such, it is a palpable act of genocide as defined under international law. Quote, Article 2. In the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial or religious group. As such, A. Killing members of the group, B. Causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, C. Deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, D. Imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, E. Forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. End quote. Definition. Quote, the word circumcision means to cut around. In male infants, circumcision is an operation which involves tearing the foreskin away from the glands, the head, of the penis, cutting along the top of the foreskin, then clamping the foreskin and cutting it off. The skin of the penis is a complex, movable sheath with no clear indication of where it should be cut during a circumcision. This means that the amount of foreskin removed from one circumcision to the next can be very different, and no two circumcisions are the same. End quote. There's a small picture there of a baby boy who, as you can see, is in considerable distress. As a victim of this barbaric and morally repugnant act, it's reasonable to suppose that I am understandably pissed off at this state of affairs. The fact is, there was a time when never a day went by without it entering my mind at some point. This was especially true in the winter months, in which no one feels the cold quite as keenly as the circumcised male. People will think I'm joking, and they would be wrong. This essay is not going to go into the mechanics of the process, but it will examine some of the long-term consequences which, although personal to me, remain true for each and every male who has been subjected to this form of genital mutilation. The photograph above is the last known image of my young self with an intact foreskin. I'm seated with my two grandfathers, both of whom are from lineages that are rooted in the north of these lands known as Britain, a fact which rules out a religious explanation of the butchery. Some time after this, under the deceptive advice of an NHS health visitor, the infant boy that you see in the photograph was subjected to an act of brutal surgery, carried out without anaesthetic, which removes some 50% of the infant penis. The psychological, emotional, and physical consequences of such unholy barbarism lasted for half a century. An interesting aspect to all this is the response of most women. Compassion and empathy from the female are in short supply when it comes to male circumcision. But imagine the outcry if hygienic genital mutilation was being carried out on baby girls who, soon after birth, were subject to a clitoridectomy, by which I mean the cutting off of the clitoris. Upon being shown the image below, my sister, rather than displaying a horror at the image of five baby boys mutilated and in clear agony, stated, "Oh, it's probably just some religious reason, Michael." The exact circumstances of how I came to be circumcised remain as unclear and silent as my mother when asked about it. However, we can state that it was not done for religious reasons. Rather, it was carried out under the false pretext of the quack medicine that continues to inflict every aspect of the tyrannical UK state's so-called healthcare. The fact is, it was my mother's choice who, knowing fuck all about the purpose of the foreskin, went along with the suggestion of the health visitor that her baby boy's foreskin was too tight and therefore it was necessary to slice it off. This oft-repeated fallacy that it was somehow more hygienic and that the male would be less prone to sexual disease was trotted out to me throughout my childhood, especially when I asked my dad why his penis was intact. You see, there's no excuse and no medical reason for such an act of violence. It's the equivalent of a parent consenting to an unnecessary operation, removing a baby's finger or a toe. A child is born whole. He is a divine creation. And, if one chooses to believe in the teachings of all religions, no one is between him and the Creator. He is born perfect, and no parent has the right to decide whether or not his body parts should be removed. As Andrew Kaufman, earlier in August of this year, writes, there is and never has been any medical justification for the practice. Quote, "There is no valid medical reason to remove the foreskin of a baby boy or any part of the genitalia of a baby girl. These are forms of mutilation that can cause harm and trauma, and they have no place in a society that claims to value health, human rights, or bodily autonomy. Every child deserves to be protected from unnecessary, non-consensual procedures, always. The psychological trauma of the experience, which remember is always carried out without anaesthetic, is well documented. Quote, Memory starts before birth and newborn infants have fully functioning pain pathways. One would expect, therefore, to find psychological effects associated with the painful genital cutting operation. Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is a normal response to an abnormal event. Neonatal genital cutting is an event in which a newborn infant experiences extreme levels of pain, terror, and helplessness. So it fulfills the criteria as a psychogenic for PTSD. Levi, 1945, reported that children experienced behaviour problems such as night terrors and a fear of nurses and doctors after surgery, including circumcision. Canseva, in 1965, tested boys before and after circumcision and reported that the ego seeks safety in total withdrawal. Levi found their symptoms to be similar to combat neurosis, now known as PTSD. Taddeo et al. In 1997 studied the behaviour of babies at first vaccination. They found that circumcised boys have a much stronger reaction to the pain of vaccination than do girls, and intact non-circumcised boys, which the authors suggest is an infant analogue of PTSD. Other authors have reported PTSD in circumcised males. For instance, Reinhardt in 1999 reported 4 cases of PTSD secondary to neonatal circumcision in middle-aged men that he encountered in his psychiatric practice. Ramos and Boyle in 2001 reported PTSD in 70% of Filipino boys who experienced ritual circumcision and 51% of Filipino boys who experienced medical circumcision. End quote. One of the most deleterious effects of this act of butchery is upon the bond between the child and his mother. At such a young age, the baby is wholly dependent upon the love and nurturing of his parents, but especially the mother, with whom he is forming a bond. Quote, because children should be protected from permanent bodily alteration inflicted on them without their consent in the name of culture, religion, profit, or parental preference. Under accepted bioethical principles, parents can consent to surgery on behalf of a child only if it is necessary to protect the child's health or life. Routine circumcision fails this test because it painfully and permanently removes a normal and healthy part of a boy's penis, does not protect the child's life or health, and in fact creates new risks. Removing the foreskin is no more justified than removing a finger or any other healthy body part. End quote. And the picture there shows an infant boy with the caption, circumcision also removes his right to choose. When the baby boy is taken into the brightly lit operating theatre to be bombarded by glaring lights, faced with cult-like figures in masks and white gowns, with stainless steel knives glinting above and around him, he is rendered entirely helpless. Torn from the protection of his mother, the butchery leaves him deeply traumatised, and more often than not, this severs the tie between him and his mother. The trust has gone, and deep in his psyche, there may well lurk a mistrust of women that will stay with him throughout his life, whether or not he chooses to admit it. It will also leave him with a high level of distrust of anyone in a white surgical coat, hospitals, doctors, dentists, nurses, and it has to be said, anyone in authority. This may lead the boy into an adult life of numerous short-term relationships, none lasting more than a short period, and one characterised by him never being able to offer the levels of commitment and trust required for him to be a husband or father. I state that not out of frustration, but rather as a matter of fact. It deeply traumatised me, and whilst I've been in the past one who has made light of it, the fact remains, I've only, within the last few years, really begun to look, well, I wrote this back in 2013, so it's referring specifically to that time. I've only, within the last 2 years, really begun to look into it and to unravel the long-term consequences of the brutality and its effects on my psyche. Are there any positives to be taken from it? Good question. A higher, more almost superhuman tolerance of physical pain? For sure. As a child, my mother, again misplacing her trust in the medical profession, took me to an Indian dentist by the name of A.K. Varma, V-A-R-M-A, who used to practice his butchery in the town of Huddersfield. He was, I now realise, a sadist who would drill holes into my teeth in order to fit unnecessary composite fillings which contained mercury. He did not use an anaesthetic, and I can remember a contest of wills would develop with me gripping the arms of the chair, staring into his black eyes above the mask, challenging him to test me. As I write this, it occurs to me that the circumcision may be probably able to tolerate and endure physical pain, when it would have been more natural for me to rebel, tell the fuckers to stop and take flight. In this way, I came to realise that I was here to suffer, that cruelty and pain are the name of the game on planet Earth, and you better get used to it. I don't believe that is a healthy state of mind to have, and whilst it never turned me into a psychopathic bully, there have been moments when I have verged on it. Throughout my childhood, I was subjected to nightmares in which I was being pursued by a dark entity, which may well have been, as I now realise, a form of re-experiencing the trauma, or, more directly expressed, Satan was out to get me. If one looks into the well-documented operations of mind controllers upon children, one comes to understand how trauma splinters the mind into thousands of pieces and thereby makes it easier for the victims to be controlled. It also teaches the victim an insidious form of learned helplessness and a deep distrust of all those who would seek to have any form of authority over him. That's a most healthy state of mind to develop, but it has come at a price. The fact that most males in the landmass known as America have undergone this brutality is also worthy of note too. Quote, social effects. Lauman, 1997, reported that 77% of the adult males in the National Health and Social Life Survey of 1992 were circumcised. Let's read that again. 77% of the adult males in the USA were circumcised. The effects of this wounding by circumcision have been discussed above. Goldman, 1997, argues extensively that the result of having so many emotionally and sexually injured males in a society would produce undesirable social effects. He suggests that men who were neonatally circumcised would be more likely to suffer from low self-esteem, to avoid intimacy in male-female relationships, and a higher degree of divorce. Moreover, he says neonatal circumcision may cause a higher incidence of unnecessary surgery and of adult violence, including suicide, rape, and murder. Baker, 1996, argues that men harbour rage towards their mothers for their circumcision. She also identifies a connection between sexual violence, rape, and neonatal circumcision. DeMouse, 1996, connects perinatal circumcision trauma with increases in teenage suicide and social violence. End quote. Follow the money. As is invariably the case in this realm where money is the one ring to control it all, there are huge profits to be made from circumcision, and ironically, the foreskins of infant males are used in the manufacture of cosmetic items to be used almost exclusively by women. Quote, you're told circumcision is routine. What they don't tell you is that the foreskin is sold for research and cosmetics, sometimes for tens of thousands of dollars. The tissue is highly prized for its regenerative properties. It's used in everything from burn treatments to wrinkle creams. No compensation, no real consent. Just quiet exploitation, hidden under standard procedure. We exploit our babies from the moment they're born, initiating them into the medical system through rituals we've been conditioned to see as normal. That quote's from Andrew Kaufman. Conclusion. Circumcision is quite simply an attack on the sacred masculine spirit, and thus is a brutal attempt to emasculate the male, and it emanates from the demiurge. This is one of myriad assaults on him, vaccinations containing deadly poisons, estrogen and fluoride in the water, soy lectins in food, vegan diets, feminism, chemtrails in the air, and a media that deliberately promotes disharmony and aggression between the sexes, all the while distracting them from the real harmonic balance of the sacred masculine with its female counterpart. The demonic social engineering at play is self-evidently one of divide and rule. And like the butchery of the last two world wars, which slaughtered millions of men in their prime, its ultimate effect is to blunt the power of man's sacred masculine energy to effect change in these dimensions through his actions. We are at war, and the enemy is seeking to cull the male from taking action against those who would suppress him. Mark Passio goes into this in some detail in his seminal work, New Age Bullshit and the Suppression of the Sacred Masculine. The meme there has a caption which reads, "The biggest atrocity of all is to indoctrinate our children into a system that does not value their creative expression nor encourage their unique abilities." Circumcision is the equivalent of clipping off an angel's wings, and like so much of the erroneous bullshit that gets thrust upon the child, it serves to teach him he is worthless and always at the mercy of adults, especially his parents. The reader may well be amused at that suggestion right now, but once it seeps into the conscious, the metaphor will serve to reveal the truth of the matter. Some of us will have to fight without helmets and not by choice. So be it. It may seem we're vulnerable, but our would-be oppressors, many of whom have been circumcised themselves, would do well to take note of this. The rogue male has nothing to lose, and in spite of it all, the phallus will rise. The sacred masculine, quite simply, cannot be kept down. Thank you for listening and for giving me your attention. Should you appreciate these video essays, then please consider chucking a few quid into the coffers via the Buy Me a Coffee button and or taking out a paid subscription to my posts on Substack.